Yesterday, Sierra mentioned about Buddha's question where he asked the monk, if things that you don't see in the past, things you have not seen in the present, and things you cannot imagine to see in the future, will they cause attachment? The answer was a resounding no. If you have not seen any person, then it is not likely to get attached to that person. In Buddha's question, the only mention is made of raga attachment. But Sierra mentioned that the question also applies to the other defilements. One cannot hate a person that one has not seen. One cannot think that a person has no control if he has not seen that person. A person cannot have conceit or false view and so on. What Sierra means is that all the unwholesome deeds cannot appear regarding a person or a sight that one has not seen. That is why when you are practicing Vipassana meditation, you do not have to make special effort if about things that you have not seen. Some people will say anicca, impermanence, dukkha, unsatisfactoriness, anatta, no control, without understanding what is not permanent, what is not unsatisfactory, and what is unwholesome. Maybe they are thinking in their mind about something, so they might get some kind of merit, but they are not said to cultivate vipassana, insight, knowledge. So in Buddha's question, tanha or raga, the attachment, is the primary concern, but you can infer that all the secondary stuff, such as dosa, anger, moha, delusion, mana, conceit, and deity, wrong view, are also applicable to things that you cannot see. If one does not see in the past, present, and also not likely to see in the future, then no such unwholesome deeds can appear. So, what about things that one has seen in the past? Things that one are seeing in the present? And things that one is likely to see in the future? In this case, kilesas or wholesome deeds, unwholesome deeds, will definitely and can definitely appear. Sierra gave an example regarding a photograph. When one sees a person or a thing, and one is not aware that things are anicca, impermanent, dukkha, unsatisfactory, and anatta, non-self, non-troll, then they are bound to get some attachment. It is possible that at that moment, that person is smiling. So in your mind, you might memorize that picture, that person smiling. On the other hand, if you see that person in a fit of anger, then you are also likely to remember that incident. Later, you might try to remember and recall, and if you see a smiling face, then you are likely to get attached. If you see the angry face, you are likely to get angry, and so on. So in every instance, whenever you recall that memory, then the unwholesome deeds also appear again and again. So Sierra mentioned that all the unwholesome deeds appear, not only raga attachment. but also dosa or anger. And if one is not aware, one might think that things are permanent and have delusion and wrong view and so on. That is why it is important that when one sees a sight, at that moment one should immediately recognize the true nature, that they are impermanent, unsatisfactory, and no control, no self, and so on. Otherwise, unwholesome deeds will recur again and again. When a person sees something, one should note carefully. And if one notes carefully, one will notice that they disappear, either immediately or a little bit later. So if one notices that they disappear again and again, then they know from first-hand experience that things are not permanent. That is the nature of anicca. And also, one will note that things are not unsatisfactory, dukkha, and there is no control, no self, and so on. So if one notes carefully, then such things or thoughts will not appear. Even if they appear again, one will note again that they are impermanent, they are unsatisfactory, and they are no control, and so on. So in all cases, unwholesome deeds are not likely to occur. There will be no loving, love, or hatred regarding the sight, because one has noticed carefully as naturally things are. That is why you, yogi, who are practicing vipassana meditation, should note every moment and make sure that you do not get attached, unwholesome, and get unwholesome deeds. So, what are the working principles for the yogi? It's quite simple. For things that you do not see, kilesa will not arise. Therefore, you do not need to take any effort to think about it. But for things that you can see, kilesa or unwholesome deeds can arise. That is why it is important that you note carefully everything that you see. So these are the two fundamental basic steps that every yogi should follow. For yogis who have been practicing for some time, these are already apparent. For beginner yogis, they might have some concept, and it might take some more time to truly understand this concept, but it's important to do this again and again. So we have heard about this two sutras in the past days. One is called Maluja Buddha Monk, where Buddha and the monk have a question and answer session. The question and answer session talks mainly about seeing or sight, but as Yara mentioned, these things can also be readily applied to other things that you are practicing, such as hearing and so on. So that is also mentioned and is in accordance with this Mahasatipatthana Sutta. So you yogis, at every moment when you see, you know things that you are seeing. At the moment you hear, you also know that you hear, and so on. The reason is that if you note them carefully at that very moment, then things such as happiness, love, hate, delusion, and worry, anger, and so on, essentially all the things that cannot purify the mind, that can stain the mind, they are also known as unwholesome deeds, can likely arise. That is why it is important to stop them at the very moment, to prevent them from entering your sense doors. And even if they enter, try to stop them immediately. So Ciaro also mentioned about the other sutta regarding a wooden piece or a log floating on the Ganges River. You might remember that Buddha mentioned that if the log does not stick to this bank and does not stick to the other bank and just go freely in the middle, then it will eventually reach its destination, which is the ocean. Likewise, by inference, Buddha also mentioned that if a yogi practices vipassana meditation and notes carefully and is not attached to the base senses, the base six bases, such as eyes and ears, it is like not being stuck on this side of the bank. And if the yogi does not get attached to senses such as sights and sounds, then it is also said that it is similar to being not stuck on the other side of a bank. So the yogi will be like the log, not stuck to both banks, but floating freely in the middle of the river, and ultimately it should reach the ocean, which is Nibbana, or the liberation. So after the question regarding sight, Buddha also asked similar question regarding hearing. So Malabhuja monk understood, and once he understood, then he is ready to listen about the vipassana practice. But since he asked Lord Buddha to give the Dhamma talk only as a summary, Buddha gave the instructions in Pali words, which are concise. Sometimes they are used as a collective term for a lot of similar stuff. For example, Lord Buddha used a single word called mudda. That means, in layman terms, if you smell, then you know you're smelling. If you eat, then you know you're eating. And if you touch, then you know you're touching. Instead of saying these three words, Buddha used the collective term called mudda and so on. So it's one kind of summary. The other kind of summary that Buddha used is, a lot of people will say anicca, impermanent, dukkha, unsatisfactory, and anatta, no self, no soul. Buddha instructed the monk just to be aware of that instant. That implies that if you note long enough, then you will know that it is impermanent, then you will know that it is unsatisfactory, and so on. So in many ways, Buddha used concise terms. So what is important is that if you do not see or do not hear, then unwholesome deeds cannot arise, so you do not need to give any special effort about them. But things that you can hear or things that you can see, then you have to note at that very moment. In the beginning, yogis are asked to note that I am seeing and so on. Actually, these things are known as piñata or concepts. And in everyday world, we use names or concepts such as this is a human, this is a man, this is a female, this is an airplane, and so on. Because we are so used to these concepts, when we start practicing vipassana meditation, whenever we see things, we don't see them as a thing, but we will see them with their names or concepts attached. It is like that even if there is an iron ball, and if you put some cloth or some cotton on top of it, and then hit with a hammer very hard, then the cotton or cloth does not seem to have any resistance, and the hammer will seem to hit the iron ball directly. As a similar example, even though there are certain stuff, we are so used to this piñata or concepts that immediately we get to recognize their terms and concepts. But gradually, if we practice vipassana meditation, and if we note more and more, then we are able to see at that moment, and we are just able to see that that is just a sight and not a concept. But that will take some time for the yogi to practice. Mentioned about this cotton ball not being able to sustain the impact. The example is that since we are so used to concepts, some of the stuff are not ready to prevent these unwholesome deeds from happening. Now, Sierra would like to give a little bit more detail about how one sees. And Sierra will use the terms from Abhidhamma, which is known as ultimate reality, and some might have learned about it. The terms are not important, but we are just trying to present them as precisely as possible. So when one sees, it is a series of steps. The first step is called Sekhu Vijnana. At that moment, a person just sees a thing. The important thing is that there is no unwholesome deed appearing at that moment. You just see something, and that moment is called Sekhu Vijnana. But even then, that person has to accept and note that there is something to see. That in Pali is called Dampatisain. The term is not important, but what it says is that in the second phase, the first phase you see something, the second phase, then you decide and accept. It's more like acceptance. Then you know that something is you are seeing. And the third step is called Tantirana. In layman terms, it is more like investigating. So you might say, what kind of sound is that? What is important is all these three steps, there is no unwholesome deed involved. It is just an act of seeing, accepting that something has been seen, and your desire or intention to investigate what's happening. Then the fourth step is called Vitarsita. That moment, one will likely decide what that thing is about. And if that decision is good or bad, then things such as I love something, I hate something, that kind of decision is made. Then that is where all these kilesa and wholesome deeds such as lobha, greed, dosa, anger, or moha, delusion, happens. And according to Abhidhamma, these unwholesome deeds happen not just one moment. They happen for like seven thought moments. So that is just seeing one thing, but it takes like 11 steps or more for that. And out of that seven steps, if you are not careful, is where these unwholesome deeds appear. So just for your knowledge, Sierra would like to introduce one more term called Bhavanga Siddha. It is loosely thought of as something, the Siddha when one is sleeping and so on. And in a larger sense, it is what happens when one is about to die. Then you might have heard of people saying that a person who is about to die sees things in his mind. There are two kinds of nimitta. One is known as kama nimitta, and the other one is known as gati nimitta. A person on the deathbed is likely to remember the good things that he has done. So he might remember about listening to a Dhamma talk, having practiced vipassana meditation, and so on. So that acts are then all called kama nimitta. On the other hand, some people will likely to see what they will be reborn in the future. Some people see themselves being reborn in this world, and they might see a notion or something like a mother's womb or a good house and so on. And some people are also known to have seen stuff like devas and so on if they are going to be reborn in this good state. But the people nearby will not notice what that person is supposed to see because it is in the senses. So likewise, it tries to see or remember stuff. So when you are practicing vipassana meditation, the natural thing to come about will be you will remember about doing walking meditation, or you might be remember about doing sitting meditation and so on. So all this stuff, whenever they happen, that accompanying siddha is called like Bhavanga Siddha. So even if you are not doing anything, there is some siddha in mind. So all the thought sequences are not just single, but it is a succession of thought sequences, and one of the most common one is Bhavanga. And it is said that it started with when you are in your conception in your mother's womb. Even from that date, if nothing else is happening, there is that Bhavanga Siddha. So according to the Dhamma, then every being is going to age, be sick, and ultimately die. So what is life and what is death? According to Dhamma, the cessation of siddha, when there is no more siddha, then that person is said to have died. The Pali term for that is called suti. And at that moment, every being is likely to think one of the three. The first is called kama. The second is called kama nimitta. And the third one is called gati nimitta. At that instant, one is likely to do something or to remember the good or bad things that one have done, or one is likely to see shapes and forms forbearing or foreboding what is about to happen. It is said that some people see sights like hell or forest and so on if they have done bad deeds in the past. So one is sees one of the three, and at that moment, if there are still kilesas or unwholesome deeds, then it is said that there is no break or instant, but one is born in a different abode. It could be one of the good abodes, or it could be one of the woeful states. And sometimes that transition is known as Padisandhi-siddha, meaning the siddha or thought moment at the moment of conception. And this is associated with the last thought on the deathbed. So what Yaro says is that if one looks at it, everything is not permanent. But the good thing is that one, your yogis will know now, and you can decide for yourself what you want to be. Do you want to be reborn in the good abodes? Then you can easily decide that you have to practice and accumulate wholesome deeds. If you do not care to be reborn in the woeful states, then you can also decide for self not to do anything or even to do akusala or unwholesome deeds. What you are practicing now is you are using sati, awareness, to gain as much merits as possible. And this is more like a practice so that even on your deathbed, you will be likely to remember the good deeds and ultimately reborn in a good state. But if you think beyond that, maybe you do not want to be reborn in other states, then that is also possible because the very end, the truest result of practicing vipassana meditation is to get liberated where it is free from all this dukkha suffering. So whether whatever you want to be, it is important that what you practice is important. What you are practicing is to try to minimize the unwholesome akusala deeds, and you are trying to accumulate wholesome deeds as possible, and so that should make you more energetic and more decisive and to be determined to get as much results as possible during your practice. So you yogis will note by now and remember by now the name of the theme of this Dhamma talk, which is using the wooden lock as an example. Patsyaro gave it a subtitle known as How to Get Liberated by Constant Noting. So by you have listened to this Dhamma talk, you have also practiced kusala deeds, have morality, taken precepts, and then practiced vipassana meditation. So may you, because of this practice, reach ultimately what you want most, that is mega phala nibbana, path fruition and liberation. And with that, we end today's Dhamma talk.